Our scripture reading today comes from Colossians chapter 1. Listen for God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, a beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
10 years. I've been here with you for 10 years. Now, I know you already know that, what with all the gifts you gave me on January 5th, a prayer shawl, inserts for my shoes to go walking, a dog tag that says I'm blessed, a bottle of Tylenol, and a coffee mug with the letters NY on it. I'm not sure why I need to know that I live in New York, but I appreciate the reminder as I drink my coffee. They were very thoughtful gifts to commemorate our 10 years of ministry together. It's been fun to talk about those gifts with many of you, but it's been more fun to celebrate the 10 years and to reflect on what has happened over that time. I've looked back on the time we've had together, and the best word that I can think of to use to describe how I feel about our time is thankful. I'm thankful for 10 years of ministry with you. I'm thankful for the partnership we've developed from the beginning. I'm thankful for the word connect, which arose from our very first session retreat 10 years ago and continues to be in many ways our star word as a church ever since, guiding us to keep growing into how we connect with God, one another, and the world. I'm thankful for a place and a people who have welcomed my family and loved them. I'm thankful for a partner in ministry as well as in life. And I'm thankful for your commitment to shared ministry as a new pastoral model here and the way you would work together as well. I'm thankful for all the meals and celebrations we have had together, especially all of the pie and the cake and the cookies. I'm thankful, too, for your commitment to be church through tough conversations and decisions, to find ways to share our thoughts and our feelings and make decisions and stay together in community through it all. I'm thankful for the many saints, past and present, whose faith and lives have influenced us, and for the ways we can grieve their absence now and celebrate them in who we are. And I'm thankful for the caring spirit of this church, which welcomes all of our joys and concerns and helps us support one another along life's journey. But mostly, like Paul wrote in our scripture reading today, I'm thankful for your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. I'm thankful for the way we have grounded ourselves in the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ, and let that lead us forward to be who God wants us to be, and to do what God wants us to do what Paul calls the will of God. Our scripture passage today is the beginning of Paul's letter to the Colossian church. Paul had never actually visited the Christians in Colossae. He didn't know, he didn't have firsthand experience with them like I have as a pastor with you. All he had to go on about that church there was what he had heard from others who had worked with them, especially Epaphras, a deacon or minister among them. And what Paul heard and celebrated wasn't simply that they did a lot of good stuff. What he heard about the Christians there was their faith, their love, their hope. What he heard about them was their commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because before anything else, what he heard was that they kept grounding themselves in the story of their faith and then asking what it is they are to do with that story. How can we make that story of faith real in people's lives? How can they live the gospel of Jesus Christ in their neighborhood, for one another, for their community, for the greater world? They weren't just trying to make people happy in their church. They wanted to be faithful. Their questions are really important, because the Christians in Colossae were also having to endure some real distractions from the core of their faith. Some strong personalities in the church felt like you could only do things a certain way to be a church. Some said you could only worship in certain ways. Others said that a correct faith included a list of things people had to believe in order to be included, let alone Christian. But to their credit, Paul applauded them for not taking the bait. They stayed true to the grace of God that Epaphras, their minister, had taught them. They asked good questions about how they were to live in light of that grace, a grace that we call radical hospitality, a grace that welcomed them first with unconditional love and then asked them to make that love real and that welcome real to anyone, to everyone, to their neighborhood. And because of their unwavering commitment, they were bearing much fruit. And in his letter to them, Paul celebrated not just the work or the fruit of their work. He celebrated them. He celebrated their faith and their commitment. Today, we are celebrating not just all the good stuff we did over the past year, but also the faith that undergirds everything we do as a church. We have done a lot of really good stuff, but simply doing stuff is not what I celebrate most. I celebrate our work to answer the questions that guide us. How do we make the good news of God's love, grace, and new life in Jesus Christ real in people's lives? How can we live the gospel of Jesus Christ in our neighborhood, for one another, for our community, for the greater world? Like Paul, I applaud your commitment to stay focused on our core reason for even being together. Because we too are surrounded by distractions and conflicting voices and values from the world around us. And it is easy, it is too easy to bring those voices into this community and confuse them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every time we worship, every time we gather around this table of welcome, every time we renew our baptism, every time we stop and pray, listen to God's word, sing songs of faith, and center our lives and our life together on God's love for us, every time we focus on our mission and follow God's call to love others and this world as we have been loved, every time we do those things, we stay true to our purpose and we too bear much fruit. Today I'd like to invite you to listen to a poem written by another Presbyterian churchwoman named Ann Weems, entitled, "I Celebrate the Church of Jesus Christ." Now here's what I would invite you to do as you listen. Listen for words or phrases that help you celebrate who we are and what we do. But I'd also like for you to listen and notice words or phrases that open up your imagination about who we could become and what we could do next to be faithful. The goal of this listening is to celebrate who we are and to notice the opportunities we have to deepen our faith, extend our love, and ground our lives in the hope God offers us. And then, after our service today, I would invite you to take this poem home with you and read it every day this week. Let it speak to you, so that in your daily life, as well as in our life together, we may become who Paul prays for us to be in our scripture reading today, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. Amen.